All right, so we are wrapping up the wilderness. Hallelujah. Everybody likes when the wilderness is over. The wilderness is hard and difficult and challenging, and there is a dry wasteland and manna from heaven and snakes and scorpions and all sorts of things. But the wilderness is one of the most critical times in learning the ways of God. We have learned so much about the wilderness just in these last couple of classes, talking about Israel's experience in the wilderness and the things that we learn from their, the things that they did well, and most of the time, the things that they did not do well. We can learn more sometimes from our mistakes and from other people's mistakes than we learn from when everything is always going smoothly. So don't take that for granted. But the wilderness has become, just like we talked about, that slavery has become something that God says, remember you were a slave in Egypt. Remember you were a slave in Egypt. You know, he's trying to get the point through to his people. Serving me is different than serving Pharaoh. Serving me is different than being a slave, okay? So God also says the same type of thing about remember the wilderness. Remember the wilderness. Especially Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole book of Deuteronomy actually is written for that purpose. Moses is trying to express to the people, remember the wilderness. Remember, keep the commands of the Lord your God. Remember what it's been like for us in the wilderness. That was all to train you to handle the promised land correctly. So remember the wilderness. So let's look at a couple of those examples. One example that God gave his people to remember was, he said, this is in Exodus 16, this is when the manna came from heaven. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, that they might see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. Now, that's some supernatural bread if it can be kept in a jar and not go bad for 40 years and then even in the generations beyond. But God wanted a memorial for his people. He wanted a memorial to recognize, for his people to remember that God fed an entire nation of 2 million people every single day for 40 years with miracle bread from heaven. God didn't want them to forget that. Why? It's such a vivid picture of God's love, God's kindness, and of course, God's ability to provide. But let's look at one of those passages in particular from the book of Deuteronomy about God explaining the purpose of the wilderness. Remember the wilderness. This is from Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 2. And Moses is writing or speaking to the people, and you shall remember the whole way, not part of the way, not only the parts that you liked, remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why was that? What was this all about? That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. So, you know, I've heard people talk about and reason in their own mind about what they're going through or what the purpose of their wilderness season is. And I've gotten answers sometimes like, well, it's to deprogram me from the system. You know, like Egypt is symbolic of the system and the world system, and the wilderness is like your detox from that. And that's partially true. But you know, that's not really what this is all about. You will get detoxed from the ways of the world. And we're going to talk about that a lot in a later unit of this class. Like, the ways of the world and the ways of God are two totally different things. But this makes it so clear. It's not about you getting detoxed or deprogrammed from the system, whatever that means, but it's about you getting humble. Wah, wah, wah. You didn't want that answer, but it turns out you need to be humbled, that he might humble you and test you to know what is in your heart. Now, unfortunately, the scripture says that our heart is unbearably sick and deceitfully wicked. So, you know, when you find out what's in your heart, it really makes you want to repent and ask God to give you a new heart. So God puts us in situations to test us, to know what is in our heart, and also to expose our hearts to us so that we can repent and change and come into alignment with God's way of doing things. And this is what happens. It tests us to see if we're going to keep God's commands or if we're going to do things our own way. So continuing, verse 3, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Okay, God provided for you. You don't live by the natural provision. You live by your obedience to the word of the Lord. You obey God, he takes care of everything you need always, no matter how impossible it looks. So verse 5, know then in your heart, know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So we talked about that. Discipline is not a bad thing. The purpose of the wilderness is to humble you, to test you, and to train you. You've got to start thinking of discipline not as punishment for badness. Jesus already took all the punishment on the cross. Perfect love has no fear. Fear has to do with punishment. That's 1 John 4:18 and 19. We're not going to go into that now, but if you have fear of punishment, you have not yet been perfected in love. You've got to know in your heart that when you are in a difficult thing, God is not punishing you. He is giving you an opportunity to train, to learn, to grow in the ways of God, to grow up. Grow up already. Grow up into the ways of God and his way of doing things. He wants to come alongside you like a father with a son that he loves with every scenario that you face and say, let's do it this way. Let's do it my way. Hey, why don't you stop doing it your way? Because that just keeps creating problems in your life and you're in this endless cycle that you can't seem to get out of. Why don't we train and do things my way for a change, and you'll see that the results will be different when you do it my way. The wilderness is to humble you, to test you, and to train you, to discipline you in the ways of God. Hallelujah. Learn to obey his voice. And I mentioned this psalm before, Psalm 78. It's one of my favorites. It's so humbling and wonderful to read, but it really does recount the years in the wilderness, Israel's years in the wilderness and a little bit slightly beyond the wilderness, but it gives a vibrant picture of the ways that they tested God through unbelief. It is an exhortation. The psalm opens with, I will speak to you in a parable, right? So Jesus even quoted this, or Matthew quotes it saying this is the explanation for why Jesus spoke in parables. But Israel's disobedience and Israel's testing God in unbelief is a parable for us to learn from. Now, it really did happen. It's not just a figurative story, but we can look at their story. We can look at the lessons that they learned and learn much, just like from a parable, about how we need to live our lives. So, Psalm 78 will help you, edify you, encourage you as it recounts and remembers the wilderness years so that you, in your walk of faith with the Lord, do not cave to unbelief the way that they did time and time and time again. Another example in the Word of God that we have for remember the wilderness is the Feast of Tabernacles, or you might know it as Sukkot. So Sukkot is a time every year, it's at the end of the harvest in the fall, it's in the part of the fall feasts, it is after the Day of Trumpets, it is after the Day of Atonement, it is a celebration, an 8-day celebration, and it is celebrated every year by everyone in Israel. This was so after they got into the promised land and they're living in houses that they did not build and they're eating from orchards and vineyards that they did not plant and they're living this abundant life in the promised land. Once a year for 8 days, they were to live in tents. Go live in a tent. Why? To remember. Remember the wilderness. Remember that your ancestors lived in tents for 40 years in the wilderness. Remember, again, the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to train you. Well, living in a tent for 8 days every year, remember that your ancestors got humbled and tested and trained so that you can be in the promised land today. Remember the wilderness and don't ever forget. So the Feast of Tabernacles is all about that. And interestingly, as a side note, when we start talking about the wilderness, this is an interesting perspective that the Bible gives us, especially about the Feast of Tabernacles, is that in the age to come, so when we are in the world to come, those of us who believe Jesus will go with him into eternity and into the world to come, that we will celebrate, all nations will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. In the world to come, we will remember our time that we lived in this world. So this world, by comparison to the world to come, is like living in a pup tent compared to living in a real house. Jesus said, "My Father has many mansions," right? So this earth, this world is like a pup tent compared to the world to come. But in the world to come, we're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and remember our time in this world, which is likened to a wilderness. So even if you're not in what I've been calling a wilderness season, or even if you're you've never gone through one, or you don't think you're in one, or you don't even believe that that exists. Well, technically, by what the Bible says, we're all in a wilderness. We're in the wilderness called this world. We're in the wilderness called this age. Until we enter into the age to come and the world to come, we are in a wilderness where this is not exactly the fullness of the promise of the promised land, which is the world to come. So just kind of taking the microscope out and looking at it through a bigger picture, the bigger picture lens. Even if you're not in a specific wilderness season, you are, I am, we all are in a wilderness until we enter into the world to come. And the purpose of this wilderness that we are in is all about God humbling us, testing us to know what is in our heart, letting us hunger as we're here in this world to see if we're going to do things God's way or to see if we're going to do things our own way, to train us in the ways of God. So you see how all of this starts to fit together in the bigger eternal picture. Nothing is wasted by God in the wilderness or in the Word. Everything is used, and things can have multiple layers of meaning, and we don't want to miss out on that. All right, so one more note about the wilderness, because I have been referring to a wilderness season or wilderness training for those of you who have entered into or been through or are in a wilderness time in your life where you know that God has called you out and set you apart from the world and the ways of this world, but you also recognize that there's something in your life where you are not yet in the promised land. So I know what I just said about taking the scope back and looking with a bigger picture of this age and the age to come. But let's look again at a wilderness season, because this is more focused. This isn't so much. God knows. God is the only one who knows the difference of when he's going to come, the day that Jesus will return. Even Jesus said he doesn't know the day of his own return. Only God knows that. So we're not talking right now about the eternal picture. I'm going to talk again just briefly about the temporal picture of Israel's experience, and then just a little note for us about our walk of faith with the Lord. So here it is. And this, some of you are going to grumble about this. You're not going to like it, but nevertheless, it's what the Word of God says. So a note about the wilderness. God is always ready for the promised land. God's always ready. It is the people who are not ready through their own unbelief. It's unbelief and inability to obey God or do things God's way. If you still think you know better than God, which means you're not doing what he says to do, or God speaks and you have a different opinion about it, or you're doing your own thing and even saying that God told you to do that, even though he didn't, you're not ready for the promised land yet, okay? God is always ready. God was ready. Here are the scriptures. So, and they're right there in your study guide also. Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. God had ordained 1 year, 1 year in the wilderness for his people. In that 1 year, they received his commands. They received the pattern for the tabernacle so that he could be honored among them and dwell in their midst, right? So this was all set up in the first month of the first year. The tabernacle was set up. Hallelujah. The glory of God descended into the tabernacle. Wonderful, wonderful. And then about a month after that, God spoke to Moses and said, all right, you've been here long enough. Let's get going into the promised land. And this is the point at which spies were sent into the promised land, and they came back and said, we talked about this before, they're giants, we're little, there's no way that we can do it. The land is great, the grapes are the size of my head, but I don't think that God is able to give us the land. And so God was ready after 1 year to bring them into the promised land. Actually, it may have been even less than that. It's an 11-day journey, which Moses in the book of Deuteronomy kind of embarrassingly highlights, like, hello, it could have only taken us 11 days, but instead it took us 40 years. All right. 1 year in, God said, let's go. Let's go into the promised land. The people were not ready because of their unbelief. They didn't believe. So there was a 40-year delay until all of that generation, 20 years old and older, perished, and a new generation. Now, here's the differentiating factor: with no knowledge of good and evil. Ding, ding, ding. That should be ringing some bells. What's the problem with good and evil? What's the problem with the knowledge of good and evil? The knowledge of good and evil is determining in your own sight what is good and what is evil, rather than only knowing what God says is good and what God considers to be evil. Okay? So if you've got to become, Jesus said it this way, you've got to become like a child with no knowledge of good and evil. And that's how it's done. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's made clear it's the children. So the age of demarcation is 20 years old. Anyone 20 years old and older is considered to be an adult in the sight of God. They have knowledge of good and evil. They had seen all the miracles. They should have known better. They should have had the faith to believe that God was able to give them the land, even the land of giants. But those 20 years old and younger, they are considered to have no knowledge of good and evil. They were still childlike in their innocence. It doesn't mean that they were without sin. It just means that in the sight of God, they had no knowledge of good and evil. So those were the ones who grew up and they eventually inherited the promised land by faith in God as a free gift from God. They did not earn or deserve the promised land. And Moses makes that explicitly clear time and again in the book of Deuteronomy, especially chapter 9. He's like, don't think it's because of your righteousness. It is not, because you are stubborn and stiff-necked and wicked. It's because of the wickedness of the people in the nations that you are receiving. It's not because of your righteousness. It's because of their wickedness. Don't forget the wilderness. Don't forget the ways that you've rebelled. Don't forget that you do not deserve this. This is a free gift from God. Well, here's how that translates into our own experience if we go through a wilderness time with the Lord. You might be halfway through your wilderness and thinking, you know, I've got super abundant faith. Like I have more faith than everybody else I compare myself to. So, you know, I should be in the promised land by now. But every time you try to go in, you fail and you get chased out like a swarm of bees. It's because it's not your time to come out of the wilderness yet. Now, I'm not saying that God has already ordained a set time frame. You maybe have heard that in your spirit, or maybe you haven't. I do know that God is just and fair. He's not going to let you just chase your tail forever. He does release us from the wilderness eventually. But God was ready. If you had had such perfect faith from the moment that you came out of the world, from the moment that you got saved, then it would have been straight into the promised land. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just, you know, green lights all the way. Boop, 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 boop. It would have just gone smoothly if you had had such perfect faith. But because you're imperfect, guess what? I am too. All right. We need to be trained in the ways of God. And the more deeply you were rooted in the ways of this world, the more work God is going to have to do to bring you into understanding His ways through a wilderness experience. But God is always ready. God, the promised land was there waiting. God was ready to give it to the people of Israel. It was not God who was unfaithful. It was not God who was not able to do what He had said He was going to do. It was the people who were not ready. So as if you weren't humbled enough in reflecting and reviewing the wilderness experience, which is designed by God to humble you, that's just a little extra slice of humble pie that the wilderness, you can't blame God that your wilderness is taking so long. God is always ready. God has provided the perfect sacrifice in the person of Jesus that we are through Him the righteousness of God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. But you've got to get that deep, deep down in your spirit till you become like a little child and can receive from God everything that He wants to bestow upon you and pour out upon you and your life as a free gift by faith from Him. By faith, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but by faith as a free gift from God. And even that is part of what the wilderness was designed to train us to understand.